in section 42 of Calvin's chapter on prayer, he begins to discuss the second petition, which he says is very closely related to the first petition, which hallowed be your name. Calvin says, because we're so sluggish, we need the second petition, thy kingdom come, to focus our attention so that we begin to see, as he says, what a great matter it is. In fact, the greatest matter of all is God's honor and glory. He says that God's kingdom, God reigns where men, both by denial of themselves and by contempt of the world and of earthly life, pledge themselves to his righteousness in order to aspire to a heavenly life. Thus, there are two parts to this kingdom. First, that God, by the power of his Spirit, correct all the desires of the flesh, which by squadrons war against him. Second, that he shape all our thoughts in obedience to his rule. So, God's kingdom, Calvin says, begins with us. He says, when we learn self-denial, that he rules over us, that we are devoted to his honor and his will, and second, that we pledge to walk in righteousness toward heaven forever. He says, therefore, no others keep a lawful order in this petition but those who begin with themselves, that is, to be cleansed of all corruptions that disturb the peaceful state of God's kingdom and sully its purity. So Calvin says we need to, when we pray, thy kingdom come, Lord, rule over me, purge my heart, purge me of all that offends you, help us as your people to walk in purity. Calvin says in the very next line, now because the word of God is like a royal scepter, we are bidden here to entreat him to bring all men's minds and hearts into voluntary obedience to it, so that God's kingdom is inseparable from his word, and that God truly rules over us when his word, which is his royal scepter, when we give it chief place in our thoughts and in our lives. Calvin adds, this happens when he manifests the working of his word through the secret inspiration of the Spirit in order that it may stand forth in the degree of honor that it deserves. So God has to work by his Spirit, and we pray for this when we pray, thy kingdom come, to bring men to the obedience of the faith and to submit to his word. Calvin says, therefore, God sets up his kingdom by humbling the whole world, but in different ways. For he tames the wantonness of some, breaks the untamable pride of others. And for ourselves, Calvin says, we must daily desire that God gather churches unto himself from all parts of the earth, that he spread and increase them in number, that he adorn them with gifts, that he establish a lawful order among them. On the one hand, that he cast down all enemies of pure teaching and religion, that he scatter their counsels and crush their efforts. Now remember, Calvin here is living and ministering in a time of danger, of great opposition to the gospel. The Roman Catholic Church is still uttering threats and anathemas and excommunications. But here is Calvin telling us, when we pray, thy kingdom come, Lord, build your church, expand your church, give her the gifts she needs, the graces that she needs, let the church have a lawful order and government, cast down enemies of pure religion, Calvin, no pluralists, obviously, and that he scatter their counsels and destroy their efforts. Calvin says the function of this prayer, two things for us. When we pray, thy kingdom come, that first, we are drawn back from worldly corruptions. He says three things. Second, that we have within us kindled a desire for the mortification of the flesh. And third, that he teaches us to bear the cross. So those three things, thy kingdom come, to draw back from worldly corruptions, to have a zeal to mortify the flesh so that we can seek God's honor in our lives. And third, to bear the cross. Now Calvin says, but understand that we have this treasure in fragile vessels. He says, But we should not take it ill that the outward man is in decay, provided the inward man is renewed. For this is the condition of God's kingdom, that while we submit to his righteousness, he makes us sharers in his glory. This comes to pass when with ever-increasing splendor he displays his light and truth, by which the darkness and falsehoods of Satan's kingdom vanished, are extinguished, and pass away. Meanwhile, he protects his own, guides them by the help of his Spirit into uprightness, and strengthens them to perseverance. But he overthrows the wicked conspiracies of enemies, unravels their stratagems and deceits, opposes their malice, represses their obstinacy, until at last he slays Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth and destroys all ungodliness by the brightness of his coming. That's a mouthful. When we pray, thy kingdom come, Lord, build your righteous rule, build your church, cast down your enemies, all those who are scheming against you, against your son, and trying to set up their own false city of man, bring them down until finally you return and slay the wicked with the brightness of your coming.